First, I thank God for all of you here today. I'm especially excited about the direction that the Lord's got us going in this morning. Before we get started, how many have a Bible with you? If you have a Bible with you and some, who brought some highlighters? So we might need some highlighters. I didn't know if you remembered that. Bring you some highlighters, but if you didn't, I want you to write down a little mark by these verses because we're going to color them, all right? Everybody likes coloring. But I want you to get your Bible prepped. I don't know if you marked in your Bible before, and I'm not saying you have to, but it'll help you. It'll help you to highlight some of these things. So we're going to stick with one color. All right? Now, I don't know what color you got, but if you want it color-coded, then hopefully you got the right color highlighter. If not, I'm going to see who's got the... I have some. I don't have enough for everybody, but I have some. So how many have a Bible with you? Get your Bible ready, because what we're going to do is we're going to start over. Anybody like starting over? Well, we're going to look at some things in the Word of God. But first, I'm going to play a video for you of a prophecy that happened in 2001. How many remember 2001? Y'all remember 2001? That was before Katrina. If you was in this church in 2001, how many remember this church in 2001? Where would the platform have been? You remember? I want you to get this picture in your mind. It would have been on this side, right? And then back here, like this group, it has been a balcony. And we had the seats out here, had center aisles, had the baptistry with a waterfall, the whole thing. You remember? How many remember that? Yeah. 2001. How many remember your house in 2001? I'm asking you that because it's not there anymore. Y'all remember your house in 2001? Think about it. I want you to get that picture in your mind. What I mostly remember about 2001 in July is this prophecy. Because in 2001 in July, I was in California, in Temecula, California, at a church. This video that I'm going to show you is a video that was taken at that church service in July, and it's a prophecy about God speaking into our lives, directly to me, and my wife was there, but speaking to me directly about our lives, about what's to come, our future. Now, when God was speaking this through a person, he used a man. God speaks through men. How many believe that? That individual did not know me at all. He didn't know my name. He never met me a single day. I come into the service, and there was many people at that service. You'll see some of the video show that the service was full. It was full of people. But I want you to keep this in mind. I want everybody, we settled? Is everybody settled? Just want to make sure we're all settled. Because I don't want any distractions. I want to keep this, I want you to listen carefully. Because what is about to happen in your life could literally change and shape your future. It can either be bright or it can be dark. That's up to you. I'm going to show you in the Word of God what God says about your future. You can decide. I want you to think about this. I want you to listen to me careful. God heals today. So I'd keep that in mind, especially if you need a healing. He's a miracle-working God. He didn't change. I start reading about God, he never changed. He the same God. And so I'm going to introduce you to that God. The problem is we don't know him. We're going to find him out today. And this is going to be the start of a long journey. I wrestled over this message that I'm going to start today for over 2 years. This is not something that's new to me. I wrestled over it because God had to get out of me what had been put in me that was nonsense when it comes to God's truth. How many of you know what sets you free? Truth will free your mind. When the truth comes, your mind will get free. I can assure you, our minds have been in bondage even though we go to church on Sunday. How many want your mind free? So I want you to watch this video. I'm not sure how long it is, just our prophecy. When it ends, you stop the tape, okay? Now let me get back to what I was about to say, and I'm overflowing, so sometimes stuff will leak over on the right side, and sometimes it'll lap over on the left side. I just want to warn you. It's going to just go that way today. But this video, we did not take it for Katrina. We tried to remember to take everything. And one of the things, I had it written, and I had it in my memory, but there was something about this video. And I told my wife, and it was an emotional time. The first day I got down here after Katrina. And I said, boy, I wish I had that video. Because it was a tangible thing to me. If I could have that video to look at it one more time. And so I'm in this church, and it was in here, there was mud everywhere and stuff. This thing would turn upside down. The staircase and going up here was over there. The platform was flipped up. It was, the baptistry was gone. It was all, that was the only thing survived. This right here. I want you to know where the words preached from didn't have a crack in it. If you'd have seen the inside of this building, you would say impossible, but not with God. He chooses to protect what he wants to protect for a purpose of getting the message across to. Let me tell you, this encouraged me. This right here encouraged me. Had mud on it. It had mud on it, but it wasn't cracked. This is smoked glass, by the way. And if you just look, I had a baptistry with 800 gallons of water in it, and it was flipped upside down. Had a 1,000-pound rock backdrop waterfall, 1,000 pounds. How many remember lifting that? Was it 1,000 pounds or better? On top of it, bolted, and it broke it all to pieces. And that glass never had a scratch on it. I'm just saying God, he'll send a message however way he can. But I'm kicking around in the mud and boxes and I'm crying because it was emotional. And I kicked the box. And when I did, the tape that you're about to watch, the actual tape, there's not a copy of it. It was laying right there and I picked it up and I said, God, that's what I need right here. I needed this tape. I took the mud off of it and I said, I don't know if it's ruined, but I'm keeping it. And I couldn't wait to find me the first VHS player. It sounds strange, don't that? But it ain't that long ago. And so I was asking this morning, who has a VHS player? And I had a couple people have one. I think that's, to me, that's kind of miracle stuff. You know? So here it is. This is the actual video of the 2000. You heard me reference it, but some of you here have never. How many's never seen this video? You've never seen this video. All right? You're about to see it for the first time. All right?
When people just lay there. Praise God. Pastor, get up. Extend your hands over there. Told you a lot of things, gave you many promises, been with you all the way. Jeremiah 1:12, I am watching over my words to perform them. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole world looking for somebody whose heart is perfect towards me. Because your heart is perfect towards me, I will build everything you want built, and I will accomplish all of your dreams. Until you cannot dream fast enough, I will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of you for the rest of your life. Dream all you want all you want, I'll do it all. I'll build it, I'll perform it. Because I'm taking you through a transformation this very day. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you're transformed from glory to glory. Where you found yourself lacking, where you have found yourself insufficient, when you look into my glory, you will be instantly changed. Until you say, I have become a lion of the tribe of Judah. And you will devour all the souls. You're going to begin to preach like you are a man from another world. Tears will flow out of you. Your eyes will shoot fire. Your revelation levels will increase. Your prayer life will be totally transformed. And your wife will begin to move in prophetic utterances of very high levels of rhema. She'll see visions as if she's watching movies. And they'll just open up before her. And there'll be specific needs that people have. And it'll transform you. Within 7 years, everything you are now will be unrecognizable because of what the Lord will do. Ezra 7:9, I put my hand on both of your heads and command you to be blessed. Woo! I receive it for myself. Look at somebody around you and say, God, put your hand on my head. Revelation 1:17, for I am Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. Do not fear. For I am the one. I'm going before you, I'm going behind you, and I'm on both sides. I will remove wagging tongues, unsupportive personalities, and supply you with unlimited laborers for the harvest fields of your soul. You shall not be criticized ever again with pain. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you will ever prosper. From now on, I'm wiping them all out. Exodus 14:13, the Egyptians that have pursued you up till this day, after today, you will see them no more. Turn to two people and say, that was for me. Praise God. Look all around you and say, that was for me.
Wow. I mean, every time I see that, there's just something about it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God ain't kidding. God don't kid. Ain't no reason for God to kid. And so, this been with me since 2001. And I studied everything I could get my hands on. I read about the glory. It took all this time. All this time it took for it to become real to me since 2001. So I'm starting this series, When You Look Into My Glory. And at the bottom, you'll be instantly changed. When you look into my glory, you will be instantly changed. How many ready for that? Because change is good. Sometimes people, if things are going good, most people don't want change. People who got things going bad, they beg for change. And so the change in our life is gauged upon how things are going, not upon what God desires for us. What if God desires change in your life and things are going good? What's the chance of you changing? I mean, we wouldn't even ask God. Most of our prayer, most of people's communicating with God, because prayer, what is it? It's communicating with God. Most of people's praying is going to God when there's trouble, struggles, situations, circumstances. It's when that stuff happens. And so I want you to think about this series. I want every person here to think about it. Carefully think about where you are, what's going on in your life, what do you know about God, and what do you desire to know about God? Because we're going to go on this journey together. We're going to look at the Word of God, how incredible God is, the things God began to speak into my life. God began to reveal himself to me. And let me tell you this. I didn't want to find this out. I say, God, you got to reveal this to me. Because I'm reading all this stuff, but I'm not getting anything out of it. I want you to reveal yourself to me. And that's what God began to do. So I want you to get ready as we go into the scripture. Look at the next slide. I put up a verse of scripture just to go with the slide there. In the eyes of the sons of Israel, into the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. And so I have that backdrop, so I put that verse of scripture in there. The Lord's glory is like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Remember when the children of Israel were there and God was going to, he said, I'm going to speak to the children of Israel. They're going to hear my voice. And he began to speak and it was like lightning striking the mountain and it shook. That the rocks were breaking and things were shaking. And they begged Moses, please, please tell God not to speak to us again. That's how incredible God is. One of the things I want to say starting off this is that I believe this, that our view of God is too small. Our view of God is too small. God has become nothing but a general term. And our view of him is the same way. So when we pray and ask God for a miracle, for example, the response we're going to get is based on our view of God. You ever wondered when Jesus would pray, how that when he prayed, no matter what he prayed, God answered it? Because his view of God was different than the view of God that we have. And so this is one of the reasons the Lord... And I want you to think about this prophecy. Think about the words that the Lord spoke to me through Brother Ivan Tate. The guy's name is Ivan Tate, if you're interested in who he is. I never seen him again. That was the only time I saw him. He preached one service, we saw him, and never saw him again. I won't forget his name. I met him, I never even shook his hand. You understand? I'm sitting in this audience and he says, stand up. I want you to think about this. But the Lord, the thing that, and we went through this. He said, I'm 7 steps ahead of you for the rest of your life. I'm still here. That means right now, this moment, he's 7 steps ahead of me. Think about that. But then he said, and this was 4 years before Katrina. Within 7 years, you'll be unrecognizable. When we hit the seventh year mark, after that prophecy, you could drive down on this peninsula and it was different. Church is different. I've heard comments where people said, man, I don't even recognize the place. Unrecognizable. Think about it. But this part is the part that got me. When you look into my glory, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. When you look into my glory. And that's what we're going to do to start off this thing. This is just going to be a starting it. We're going to look into the glory of God. I want you to think about this. And I prayed and I asked the Lord. I said, God, I trust God with everything. And I just want God's anointing. I want His words to be spoken. Whatever God has purposed and planned for this service, that's what I want. And I just want the Lord to minister to your life. I want you to realize that we have some incredible things that we're going to be looking at throughout the Scripture. And I want it to minister to your life. I want you to go to Malachi. I got it on the thing. If you want to turn in your Bible, this is one you want to mark. This is one that you want to mark. Now, we mark in Scripture dealing with the glory. And so you can start marking. I don't, whatever highlighter pen you got, which colors have you got? Everybody hold you. That's just mark. You remember your own color code. So if you start with orange, make sure orange is for the glory. If you start with green, it's for the glory. All right? I won't do it because we don't have enough out here. So I want you to think, go to the next one. Malachi 1, verse 6. I want you to listen to this. Very important that you see this and grab hold to these. He said, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? I want you to think about it, what he says. He said, if I am a father, where is my honor? Or you can put glory there. It's the same word, kabod. The Hebrew word is kabod. So he said, if I am a father, where is my glory? And if I'm a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? And so as you look at this, and I just put that one verse as a starter for us. But you write down and read all the way to verse 10, okay? That'll be a help to you. And he goes on to talk about how he despised the name. He said, in your sacrifice, he said, how is it you bring the blind, crippled animals? He said, if you think that's right, go and why don't you bring that to you, feed that to your governors when you have your feast? But my part that I want you to see in this, I want you to get this. If God is a father, how many believe that God is the father? Then where is his honor? That's what he asked. He said, sons, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where's my honor? Where's my glory? Think about it. Where is it? So I want you to keep this in mind. Your picture of God is going to be a direct link unto how much glory he has. To some people, he doesn't have a whole lot of glory. Does that change the fact of how much glory he literally has? No. But in their mind, that's all he has. And I want to tell you that in our society, across the board, church-wide, we have limited the glory of God. Of what we want to understand. Now, it doesn't limit his glory. His glory is his glory. And we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. I want you to just keep those things in mind because I believe they'll be helpful to us. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. My people have changed their glory for that which is not profit. And we got to be careful that we don't change the glory. We don't want to change the glory. Now, when God says, I'm going to be a God to them, that's what he says in the Word. He said, I'll be a God to them, and they'll be a people to me. When God says what he's going to be to us, is he going to be that to us in a partial way? Is he going to just give us a little bit of him? No. You have to understand, God's not going to give a little. He said, I'll be a God to them. And I like what he says. He said, I'll be their father. If he's our father, is he partially our father? Is he somewhat our father? No, he's our father. So on God's point, is on his behalf, I want to speak on God's behalf here. He's not pulled back anything from us. But he said, my people, they've changed their glory. For which does not profit. Let me just say this, and I want you to hear this carefully. Anything less than all of God's glory, we have changed it and it won't profit us. Get that? Good. Anything less has been changed. And it changes not because we have the power to change it, but we refuse to know it. Is everybody getting this? We refuse to know it. So how can I know it? It's in the Word. It's in the Word of God. The glory of God, and we can know about God, is in the Word. It's in here. And God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to reveal himself. How many want God to reveal himself to you? Amen. The next one here we're going to look at, this is how we're going to start this. We're going to look at God's glory, God's plan. God's glory, God's plan. And what I'm going to do is I'm first going to talk about the glory, just giving you some definitions, and then we're gonna, I really want to take some time to look at God's plan. So I'm going to give you some definitions, kind of give you an outline, and then we're going to go through this. All right? Glory generally represents Hebrew kabod, with the root idea of heaviness. Everybody say heaviness. And so of weight or worthiness. I want you to say weight. Worthiness. I want you to think about those words. Worthiness. It is used of men to describe their wealth, splendor, or reputation. Reputation. Everybody say reputation. Though in the last sense, kabod is often rendered honor. Honor. Remember we just talked about where's my honor, he says. Where is my honor? It's used there. The glory of Israel was not their army, but Yahweh. In Jeremiah 2 and 11, which I gave to you, the nation has changed gods when they were not gods. My people have changed their glory for that which did not profit them. So the glory of Israel was not their army, but God. So when they changed that glory, it lessened their God. Was God, did that literally lessen God from God's standpoint? No. But as they was sharing it, delivering it, preaching it, you know, let me ask you this. When people look at your life and hear your words, what kind of picture of God do they get? Think about that. How much of the glory of God, the worthiness of God, the reputation of God, the weight of God, the heaviness of God do people get when you explain God to them? And you are explaining God whether you use it in words or deeds. The fact that you get out your house and drive to a church, and I don't care where it's at, you're trying to tell somebody something about God. That's what you're trying to do. In essence, you're saying, I go to church on Sunday. And is that the only message? Is that the message? You think people's getting a full picture because you go to church on Sunday about God? And sometimes that's the only thing people know about people is, man, they go to church. They have no idea about the God that they serve. Only thing they realize is the God that they serve, they go to visit with him once a week. Because that's about all that does. We have to make sure that we don't take away from the worthiness of God, the reputation of God, the worth of God. We can't take it away. Glory is weighty importance and shining majesty that accompanies God's presence. I want you to think about that. The basic meaning of the Hebrew word kavah is heavy in weight. You ever heard this term? He's got a lot of weight. What does that mean? When we say that, what are we trying to get people to? Do we mean that the guy's big? No. If I say he's got a lot of weight, what I'm saying? I'm saying that guy's reputation, you understand? Good or bad, he's in his circle, he's got weight, he's got pull, he's got power, he's got authority. Am I correct on this? You've used these terms. That guy's got some weight. He's cat, you know, and so I want you to think about God and his weight. I want you to think about God. Who can we compare him to? Who can we compare God to? No one. So if we're going to go around talking about the power somebody's got, we ought to get our message right and make sure people know that if we're going to talk about, you know, he's heavy or he got some weight, we better not forget that the one who's got all the weight and heavier than anybody is the Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. If anybody's carrying some weight, it's God. If anybody's got a reputation, it's God. If anybody's got worthiness, it ought to be God. We ought to give God that glory. Amen? So let's look at this. So that's dealing with this glory. I'm going to deal with four things initially. Four things. Number one, God's glory is underived. I want you to think about that. God's glory is underived. I won't talk about them. Let me go through the four and then we'll back out of them. God's glory will not be shared. Think about that. God's glory will not be shared. Number three, God's glory must be praised. God's glory must be praised. Number four, God's glory is his goodness. It's his goodness. That's a good way. It's his goodness. So think about this. I want to get back to the man walks in the room and we're all sitting around and everybody's looking at the guy who just walked in the room who's got, he's heavy. He's either got plenty of money. We say, man, he got it. He's weighted down. Well, I want you to think about God. when he walks in the room, nobody's got more weight. Nobody's heavier than God. And I want you to think about these four things. God's glory is underived. I want you to think about that. We're going to talk about it, but I want you to think about it. God's glory will not be shared. Let me throw this in here because I can't help it. Not even with Jesus. Now that'll move you. God's glory won't be shared. God's glory must be praised. Do you understand these things? And God's glory is His goodness. His goodness. Now, I knew this morning would just be our getting us ready. God's plan. Let's go to the plan. God's plan. I want you to think about that. All right? God's plan. Wow. You ever wondered about God's plan? You ever wondered when it started? You ever wondered what is all involved in God's plan? God's plan. I'll say it again. God's plan. Everybody say it loud. God's plan. God's plan. Let me just put it this way. Before the worlds existed. Before the worlds existed. Forget me and you. Forget green trees and green grass, birds and bees and animals, water and the sea and fish and human beings and all the stuff around us. And we can keep going. You know, we can keep going. Kids and husbands, wives and bills and jobs and all that. Before all that stuff gets our life all going in the direction it guides us in. Because remember, we're driven by those things that we've heavily put ourselves on. They drive every part of our day. Before all of that. Before God said, let there be light, there was a creative mind that had a perfect plan. I want you to think about God. I'm going to take you way back. Is it okay if I get you all the way back to the first? In the beginning, God. Then God said, God said, in the beginning God created. So He's creating, and when He's creating, He's saying things. And He tells us how these creatures, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there, let there, let there. God said, God said, God said, God said. Before He said, in the beginning, God created. Before He created, He had a plan. He had a plan. And I want to give you as much as I can about that plan. I'm going to give you verses of Scripture. We can't go no further than this plan. At least we got started today. But God had a plan. And in His plan, this is what God laid out. We see it in the Scripture. In His plan, He was going to create a universe. Did He create the universe because He just was kind of drifting around in nothingness? And all of a sudden, just for no reason, He created a universe. No. You ever wondered about the foundation of the earth? Did you ever look underneath the earth to just see its foundation? You know, if it's suspended and drifting in a solar system, you know, that's how I look at it. I'm kind of saying, where is it? The foundation, the earth is positioned and it's holding steady and it's tilted at its right. You know, somebody had to set it on its foundation and make sure it don't go any further than that right there, because scientists say if it moves any, it's uninhabitable. Well, who I'm talking about here? See, listen, your God is not a 6-foot Jewish man named Jesus. Let me come over here. He took the earth and he set it there. Are you getting this? He put it on his foundation. But before he did that, he had a plan. And his plan was this: I'm God, and beside me, there's none other. And I'm going to create a universe. He's getting these plans out. He didn't do it yet. He's just saying what he's going to do. I'm going to create a universe. It's going to have stars. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to create angels. And I'm going to create, this is going to be the fast part of the plan, okay? I'm going to create man. I'm going to create this paradise. I'm going to put man in it. I'm going to have cherubs and angels. And it's going to be incredible. And then I'm going to have a son. And that son's going to die. And I'm going to raise him up. It's great. My plan's great. He's going to die, but I'm going to raise him up on the third day. I'm going to raise him up. And then, he's going to come to heaven. And I'm going to seat him at my right hand in heavenly places. And I'm going to give him a name above every name. And at a certain time, I'm going to send him back. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. My son's going to reign for 1,000 years. And every person who follows my son, they'll reign with him. Those who don't, they'll be destroyed in a lake of fire forever. And then my son's going to do it perfect. And while he's doing it for 1,000 years, I'm going to take Satan and I'm going to put him in the abyss and bind him up for 1,000 years. But then I'm going to release Satan. Yeah, that's what I'm going to release Satan, and he's going to cause a revolt again. Get all the people to revolt against Jerusalem in Israel, Gog and Magog, they all come. And he says, I know what I'll do now. I'll go. And I'm going to destroy Satan and tell him, oh, you kidding me? You think for a moment I'm going to let you mess up my plan? There ain't no way. That's God's. I just gave you God's plan. All right? Then what did God do? He hit play. Do you get that? But let me tell you, there was a couple little things in the plan that I didn't tell you. Are you ready for this? In my plan, Jacob's going to be born. Courtney's going to be born. Jeff's going to be born. Ryan's going to be born. Daniel's going to be born. I want you to get this in your mind. They're going to be born. And in my plan, I'm going to give them a free will. They can choose to live for me. Jesse and Brian, Jerry, all. They can choose. But Troy, Justine, they can choose it. Scott, they can choose. It's up to them. In my plan, I'm going to make provision. In my plan, there's provision. They can have it. They can enjoy it. Or they can throw it away. That's up to them. But nobody can say that God doesn't have you in his plan. And I'm about to show you that. Get ready. We're going to go fast. Be marking these down in your Bible. Are you ready? Number one, Hebrews 1:10. And the Lord in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hand. How many see that? The Lord in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. So before the earth was created, what did God do? You got to get this. Why is he doing this anyway? Because it was in his plan. It didn't just happen. This creation and all this didn't just happen. Let me tell you this. I forgot another part of the plan. This plan is so big, I'm going to be forgetting until he comes back. I'm going to have to add it in. Here's another part. He said, there's another provision in the plan. If there's any sick among them, if they'll call for the elders of the church, pray the prayer of faith, lay hands on them, I'm going to heal them. Matter of fact, I'm going to put a mark. I'm going to mark my son for their healing. By his stripes, you are healed. That's just a provision in the plan. Anybody's ever been healed? Anybody need a healing? Well, it's yours. It's in the plan. It's in the plan. It's provided for you. All right, we got to go. Matthew 13:35. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter hidden things hidden since the foundation of the world. When did they get hidden? Telling you God had a plan. Are y'all getting this? See, we got God's glory all messed up. We got God shrunk down too small. That's why there's no reverence no more when it comes to church and stuff. When's the last time you prayed and asked God for anything? When you did, or you just kind of doing it by, just passing by the way? Or did you realize you just talked to the one who before the earth existed, he laid the foundation.
Hallelujah.
He laid the foundation. What creative mind on this planet could do that? How can a man do that? Are y'all seeing this? Luke 11:50. So that the blood of all the prophets shed. When did the blood of the prophets get shed? Since the foundations of the world may be charged against this generation. Now I want to ask you something. How can the blood of the prophets be shed before the foundations of the world? In the plan it can. Because that was another thing I didn't tell you about the plan. He said I'm going to have raised up prophets, but they'll kill them. It was in his plan already. Did he raise up prophets? Did they kill them? He said they did that before the foundations of the world. Did he know they were going to do it? Here's another provision. I'm going to make man in my own image, in my likeness. But in the plan already. But he won't listen. Are you getting this? I'm going to make him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to care for him. There ain't nobody going to love that man more than me. I'm going to take him from the dust of the ground. I'm going to breathe life into him. I'm going to take a non-animated nothing and animate it. And he will say no to me. I'm just letting you know, listen, you got to understand that had to hurt God. But in his plan, he said, that man who said no to me, that man who rejected me, I'm going to send another man. I'm going to send another one and call him Jesus. And that one, he's going to say yes to me. He's going to say yes, yes, yes. And you know what I'm going to do? They're going to kill him. And that's okay. I'm going to raise him up. Do you understand? In the plan. That was in the plan. Just letting you know. When did the blood of the prophets get shed? Sometimes we read the Bible and we don't even see these things. I read it all my life and didn't get it. Do you understand? I've been in this for a long time. And this stuff, that prophecy, you don't think that prophecy bothered me from the day I heard it? What are you talking about, God? A man, you search the whole world to find a man whose heart is perfect toward me. Me? Are you kidding me, God? Do you know the stuff I've done? He also knows the stuff we've all done. But he calls the things that are not as though they are. He didn't see me in my fault. He saw me today. He said, I got you. I know you messed up now. I know you're squirrely and wishy-washy and can't make your mind up. But I ain't talking about that today. I'm talking about this day right here. I see somebody who will stand up and speak the truth of the Word of God no matter what folks say. Because this stuff, listen, I'm telling you, we're cracking something open here. And we're going to dig into some things in the Word of God that we hadn't seen before. And we're going to have to get some of the stuff we've been talking about out of our thinking and out of our thought process and the words we speak against God and the things we say about Jesus. We got to get these things straight. Are you seeing this? Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, blameless before him in love. When did he choose us? See, I don't know if y'all are getting this. Are y'all getting this? Lee, he chose you before the foundation of the world. How incredible is that? That's amazing to me. Are y'all getting this? Before he put the earth in the solar system. He said, I know you. Lee and Preston. You think about that. I know them. I choose them. And here we come along. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you, this will help you choosing him get a whole lot easier if you don't know this. Maybe that it makes it hard for you to choose him, but he knew you. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He picked you. You know, when we were out there doing our thing, acting up, and folks over, mom and dads are going, oh, God, save them. You know, he's trying to say, I did. I already did. You just got to get a hold to it. And we, and if we succumb to fear, though, we on the other side succumbing to fear, I got them. I already did. See my plan. How many thank God we're learning about the plan? Next one, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished, his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Let me ask you this. Did God start the plan before he finished the plan? No. He planned the whole thing out before he started it. That you're not serving. Listen, let me say this again. You think he's got some weight? Man, you let God's got some weight. That's why when you look into my kabah, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. When you figure out my glory, my glory, my glory, no, nobody else's glory, his glory. Listen, these pies aren't for me to cut. But they look like they need to be cut. This is an apple pie. And I want you to think about this. I'm just driving and I tell Charlotte to write. I say, write this down. I write just whatever it comes to me as I'm meditating on the Lord. And he said, it's like a pie. It's like a pie. That's me. And you ain't getting a piece. Oh, I don't know if y'all getting this. But whatever you need, I made that for you. But this don't get touched. It's never less Did this come out of that? Absolutely. Did it lessen this? But if I cut this right here and I give you a piece, one little piece, it's less than what I started with. So what does God say? He said, I'm going to get you one out of here, but I'll never be less than what I've started. Woo! Just keep that in mind because we ain't done with that pie. A lot of you think, I hope we're not done with it. Maybe we'll cut it after church. Hebrews 9:26. Hebrews 9:26. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the age of this, he has been manifest to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it's talking about Jesus. And so, but he did it from the foundation of the world. Did he have to do it from when the plan started? He wasn't dying many times over. It was in the plan. It was appointed at a certain time, and it happened. Do you understand that? And it took place. What could something disrupt the date that God had picked? The only way, I want you to get this, the only way it could have changed dates if Jesus would have said yes to sin. And he could have, but he didn't. He didn't. And God knew he wouldn't because he said it. He said it. He said, I'm going to send him, and he won't do it. And I want you to think about that. Keep that in mind. 1 Peter 1:20. 1 Peter 1:20. For he was foreknown. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. Talking about Jesus. Was Jesus foreknown? Yes, he was foreknown. He was foreknown. Does that mean that he was, that Jesus pre-existed? No, it doesn't mean that. He was foreknown. Listen, I was foreknown. Does that mean I pre-existed? I didn't pre-exist my birth. I was known, but I didn't pre-exist it. Where I was known in? The plan. I want you to keep that in mind because this is important. We have a lot of things out there that's created a lot of confusion for a long time. Listen, there's been confusion for over 1,700 years. There's been a lot of confusion in the church world. And we're going to clear up some confusion. Does that mean I'm somebody? No, I'm just from Buras, Venice. I'm from the bayou. I'm born to a fisherman. Do you understand that? I'm four-generation fisherman. My education is Boothville Venice High School. That's it. Do you understand that? I am nothing and I am nobody if you're trying to compare me to some of the scholars. But the one thing I realize when I look in the Word of God, men are men. We're all the same. And God looks at us, he looks at we're all the same. And you know what? I just asked God. I just asked him, God, you're going to have to reveal yourself to me. You're going to have to reveal yourself to me in your word. I'm going to have to see it in your word. And the Lord began to reveal himself to me. Just listen. Just a guy from the bayou. That's it. So don't tell me God can use you and work through you if you'll just yield to him. God revealed himself to me, and I'm thankful for that. How many know God wants to reveal himself to you? Look at this one, Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb who has been slain. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. When did the name get written in the Lamb's book of life? Are y'all seeing this? You say, well, it happened one day. I was figured I would go to church, and I was down on my luck. The preacher invited me to the altar. I went to the altar. I prayed the sinner's prayer, and my name got written on the Lamb's Book of Life. No, sir. Before you got in trouble, before the preacher preached, before you went to the altar, God put your name in advance in his plan. To me, that does something for me. That does something for me. You want, you know, folks who want to walk around, well, you know, I haven't decided yet, you know. I just really haven't decided yet. I wouldn't play with God. I'm just telling you what God said about you. You can, listen, there'll be a lot of people who God's plan for them was to come. He said, I would that all men come to know me. But he, that one, that thing, that provision in the plan is you got to come to that understanding. What has God already said for you, about you? He's already done it. But it's up to you and I to make that choice. And it's important, very important. I want you to understand that. Revelation 17:8. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, you see that, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. And so keep that in mind, from the foundation of the world. I want to get through as many of these as I can for you so you'll get a chance to look at them. John 17, verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself. Keep this in mind. This is very important. You want to highlight this verse. With the glory which I had with you before the world was. Did Jesus have glory with God before the world was? Absolutely. Let me just get you to understand this. God knew Jesus would come. What, in which way would Jesus come? He's going to be born of the virgin. God knew that. And he knew he would die. And he knew he would raise him up, and he knew he would glorify the Son. Did Jesus understand the plan when he was going through the Bible? Same Bible I went through, by the way. I use the same Hebrew Bible Jesus used. It's the Hebrew, the Old Testament is what we call it. And I'm going through that, and then I go through the New Testament. And Jesus had all this information, this understanding about God, his God. And did Jesus know the plan? Yeah, he knew the plan. That's why he said this. He said, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. He's not saying when I preexisted with you. Do you understand that? That's not what he means here. But some folks want to take this verse and say, you see, Jesus pre-existed his birth. He didn't pre-exist his birth. He was in the plan of God. He knew the plan of God. He understood the plan of God. So he said, glorify me, because he was glorified in the plan, finished work. Now he's going to die. He said, but I know I'm going to be glorified by faith. That's why the just shall live by faith. If we ain't got to trust God for some things, then we don't need faith. What's the point in it? Why do we have to believe for something to come that was already there? And that's why we look at the plan of God. Not the whole plan has not come to... has the whole plan come to pass yet? Then we need faith. Until there's going to be a point where the plan is finished. Are you going to need faith? Listen, when God himself, does that do anything for anybody? When God himself comes out of heaven, and there'll be no need for the S-U-N, because he's going to be the light of the world. His bright, I'm talking about his glory now. Remember, glory means his brightness. There'll be no need for the S-U-N. I want to tell you this. What do you think happens to planet Earth if the sun blows up and disappears tomorrow? What do you think happens to the earth? Anybody want to take a guess at it? What happens to every person on this planet? We die. The earth is finished. Finished. It would be floating in outer space, nothing more than a snowball. I'm thinking we need the S-U-N. We kind of need it. I'm glad it comes up, goes down, and does its thing. But this is what God said. He said, when I come, we don't need the S-U-N. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to be the brightness. I'm going to keep it warm. I'm going to keep it working. Are you understanding that? In the meantime, I'm going to put this little thing called, this little thing God calls the S-U-N. He said, let's put that right there. Wait. Now. Stay. Let's put the lesser here, the moon, and put it, because you know they got all that water I'm going to be having, and I got to move it around. Because if I move the water, what I'm going to do, I'm going to use the moon, and I'm going to move the water. This is in the plan, by the way. In the plan. I'm going to move the water around, and I'm going to let it flow, and the tide, the Pacific tide, is going to go underneath the ice caps, and when it comes back up, you know, it's like I'm going to just air condition the whole thing. Don't be fooling with God now. And so he puts the moon there, and he goes, now the tide's going to work. Then he sets the earth, and it's just sitting there. And he says, huh. And he spins it. And we've been spinning ever since. I'm just trying to figure out what kind of picture you got of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you don't get the right picture, and the white, give him his glory. He said, how is it that your sons will give their fathers and their masters? He said, where's my honor? You go back and read Malachi. You keep those notes handy. Where's my honor? When is somebody going to really talk about me? It's more than just coming and feeling good about ourselves because we come to church. What about you saying, I'm a God man. I'm a serve God. I don't know. Is I know everything about it? No, but I know one thing. When I look around everything else that's out there, I want to go with the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. I'm going with God. Be okay with that. We throw it out there like there's a bunch of options that you can compare God to. You can't. It's just like trying to compare Jesus to some of the things that's come up over the years. These other Jesus lookalikes and prophets and so forth. You can't compare any of that to when you look, here we go, Jesus. Let's go with Jesus for a little. He's in the plan. He's in the plan. So listen, when I'm talking about the plan, I can go in any direction I want. I got so many options, but Jesus, look. Well, let's compare Jesus to Muhammad. All right, Jesus never sinned, ever. Muhammad's a sinner. In his own writings, he's a sinner. He robbed people and pillaged them, stole all their property to start the Islam. That's right. I didn't say that. I'm not coming up. He said it. He said, Father, we ought to get the Quran read. He said, Allah, please forgive us for all the many sins we committed today. Show me one verse that Jesus said he committed a sin and he had to be forgiven for. There's a big difference. Big difference. So just like there's a big difference of God to anybody else, any other God, there's a big difference when you talk about the Son. Big difference. I can't wait till we get on His glory. Jesus called it His glory. Was His glory God's glory? No. Remember the pie example. God says, I have a son, he's going to be born, and I'm going to give him his own glory. This is your glory. You know, we have another scripture in this Bible talks about our glory. Oh, man. You want to be in all of these services. They're going to help us grow in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained. When did he ordain it? Before the world, unto our glory. We're going to get on that. How many thank God for your glory? Is your glory, when he gives your glory, listen, did it come, did his glory, did you see anything missing when we get out? No. There's a reason why that can't happen. Bible says it can't happen. If anything comes out of that, it diminishes it. It lessens it. God's glory can't be lessened or diminished. Does everybody understand that? 2 Timothy 1:9. Who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When was it given? Before. Is this exciting anybody here today? This ought to excite you. You know, listen, you remember when you felt like you wasn't going to make it, but you're here today? God said, you make it. I promise you'd make it. You didn't feel like you were going to make it. You didn't feel like you was winning. He said, I guarantee you. I know you feel horrible. You feel bad right now. You got an ache in your stomach, but it's going to be all right. I see it in my plan, you make it. I know a lot of people counted you out, and some folks said, he'll never amount to anything. God said, don't believe it. Don't believe him one bit. I see you're going to be sitting in Faith Temple Church on a Sunday morning, and somebody's going to tell you about my plan for you. And when nobody counted on you, I was counting on you. I'm telling you, you're in the plan. Listen, let me tell you how much God loves you. Even when you debate whether or not you're going to be in this service or not, he worked out every detail in your life up to this point. When did he do that? He sure wasn't doing it yesterday. Do you understand that? He wasn't doing it yesterday. Let me tell you what he does. You're there, and the God's, and he goes, just a little nudge, and you're sitting in church. If he'd have left you, if he wouldn't have nudged you, you're not getting this. I don't think you're getting this. Anybody ever feel a little nudge? You know, I'm sitting home, but I felt a little nudge. I gotta go and pray. I gotta go read my Bible. I need to start going to church. Nah, there you, right there. There you go. You just got nudged. So next time you see somebody, listen, get ready. This week, somebody calls you up and say, man, I don't know what's going on in my life. You say, you just got nudged. You got nudged. Let me tell you about the plan of God for your life. And you can start sharing in the plan. You go to your Bible and get all them highlighted spots out and say, here's what it says. Listen, can we refute the Word of God? Am I reading out the Bible here? Am I not reading out the Bible? All these verses. You know, you think you'd find maybe one, maybe two verses. And if I'd have found two, I'd have preached it anyway. But I'm still going through this, and I'm going, man, I ain't even finished. I quit. I just kind of quit because I got to find a stop point. But this is not nowhere finished. Titus 1:2. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Listen, which God that cannot lie promised. Yeah, I don't see if y'all seeing this. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I want you to get that clear. Before. Before. He's not looking at it, yeah, if they'll start behaving, I'm going to love them a little bit. While we were sinners, while we were all messed up, couldn't figure it out, he loved me. But I want to tell you, he didn't wait to see if it all worked out. And he said, "This you got to understand, this is the glory of God we're talking about. The weight of God. God's reputation. Huh? What are you saying about God? When you start talking about God, is there anybody more heavier than God? Does anybody have more brightness than God? Do you understand? You know Jesus is going to have a brightness? Do you know that? Is it going to be the same brightness God had? No. Remember, he got his own pie. Just like you got your own pie. But nobody's getting this pie. And that's the problem the church has been in. We're trying to divide that pie into three. Oh, my. That's when it gets quiet. We're trying to divide that pie into three. We want that pie to be three pies, three pieces. One pie, but three different pies. Anybody here? While I'm finishing this service, if you can come up here and figure that out, please come divide this into three pies, but never take away from this pie. Try it. It's complex. I'm just to let you know. That's what some people say. It's complex. Complex? That's beyond complex. It doesn't make no sense to me. You know, I can understand complex, but that doesn't make any sense. I want to ask you. Let me try it. Maybe this is, they dressed, look at them. Got suits on and ties. Can you divide this pie in three parts, but never change this pie? And all three that you divide, it will be as equal as the pie that you started with. Here's the way I see it. Why don't we just leave this pie be its pie? And let that pie make as many pies as he want to make. But there'll never be that pie. They ain't never going to be that pie because there's but one God. One God. There's one God, and we got to give him his glory. We got to give God his glory. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And let me tell you, he wasn't kidding. Because it changed me. It completely changed the way I pray, study, everything. My whole idea about the Word of God has changed. And I've been doing this a long time. But I needed some changing. I needed to be fixed. Fix what was broke. And so by default, not because somebody taught me this, because I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't go to university. I went in right into the ministry. Young, just a young pastor. I believed God. I trusted God. I was wondering why the name of the church is Faith Temple. That's why. If we're going to do this, we better have faith. Hence, Faith Temple. That's the truth. That's just the way it happened. And I was like, I'm so unlearned. But I knew one thing. I knew God called me. I knew he called me. He said, I'm calling you to do this. And I knew that it was a high calling. There's a reason for it. Listen, I love this area. And I know you love this area. And I've seen all my life, I've seen so many ups and downs and people come and go. But God dealt with me that day. That day he called me. That was a long time ago that the Lord called me. And I'll never forget it. That was back in January of 87. Sitting in a small mobile home trailer on the living room floor. And I was saying, God, there's got to be something that can happen here for our people. I'm just praying that day. Not because I had a good prayer life. I can tell you that. I was far from having a good prayer life. But that day, the boat was broke. There was no money in the bank. I had an extension cord going out the window to get power from my dad's house. Do you understand? Broke. And I was like, God, something's got to happen. And I just started telling him. And when I started speaking words, I figured those words that weren't coming out of my head. Words like, I love this place. I love the people in this place. God, I just know you got great things in store for this place. It wasn't about people. It was about me. I wasn't interested in nobody but me. And I said, God, please send us a pastor who will love the people and stay with us. And no matter what we go through, God, that we'll make it. And then I felt a nudge. I got out of that frame of mind, that fishing frame of mind, and I got nudged over. And God says, what about you? What's wrong with you? I'm calling you. I'm going to raise you up. I'll do something in your life. You'll trust me. And let me tell you, you don't want to hear those words. You really don't. You think, man, I wish I would. You're sitting here and you say, boy, I wish I could hear that. When it happens, you don't want to hear it. Because you realize, I can't back out of this. And you're looking around. Nobody's hiding behind walls. No ventriloquist is trying to shoot their voice across. It's just God. This is God doing. And you got how to get out of this. But I want you to tell, I want you to know this. I was in the plan. And you're in the plan. Every one of you, you're in the plan. And you feel that nudge today? I can only tell you this. Quit fighting it. Don't fight the nudge. Submit to God. Submit to His plan. And let me tell you, you'll never be more happy in your life. Was it easy? No, absolutely not. Did we go through some difficulty? Oh, yeah, I think we have. I think we've been through some stuff here. Let me tell you how I feel right now about what God told me that day. Let me tell you how I feel. You ready? I love this place. I love the people of this place. God, I want to see this place do great things for you. You know what I realized? What I said that day, I feel more excited about it today than I ever felt. Because of God's purpose and His plan and His word becomes real to us. And that's what God is looking to do. He wants these things to become real to us. So I want you to see that. I want you to see this because it's important. It's important that you get this. I want to skip one thing. I want you to go pull up to number two. Go to God's glory. It says God's glory will not be shared. I want to give you this. No, go all the way back where you was. So just keep going. As a matter of fact, go to 29. Go to 29. I just want to go past that next one. There you go. There you go. I want you to look at this verse. I want you to kind of, this is where I'll try to start next week. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. I wasn't making this. I'm not trying to make up anything. This is His glory. It's all of Him. What did He say He was going to do? Is He giving any of this? He said, I'll not give my glory to another. Go to the next one. For my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Are y'all seeing this? Is everybody seeing this? Is He going to give His glory? I want you to think about that this week. We're going to go into that. I'll start talking about these four things. And this thing is going to grow. It's constantly moving. This whole series is going to be this way. And we're going to get into some things. But I mentioned some stuff that I want to make sure that I don't leave anybody hanging. I want to say this. God, so we get started. God is not a Trinity. I want to be clear on that. I don't want to come off as hiding anything from anybody. I want you to be clear. I want to be very clear on this. God is one God. One God. In Deuteronomy, He speaks of this. I want you to turn in your Bible with me, and this is what we're going to be closing with. I got just a couple more minutes. Turn in your Bible. There's no slide for this. I'll have one up starting out this next Sunday. We'll be looking at this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You want to highlight this. You want to highlight this. And if you have a different color, if you do, change colors from what you've been highlighting. If you don't, mark it and then come back and do it later. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Listen to this. This is the creed of Israel. This is a creed. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Do you see that? So how many is the Lord our God? He's one. He's one. God is not. Remember, did y'all figure that out yet? Can y'all do that? I'll bring it back over there. Can you make this three without affecting the one? You don't get nothing else now. This is it. Can you? No, no. God's one. How many gods are there? Let me ask it this way, because I don't want that to be, that could be misleading. How many gods are Almighty God? One. Because we see it in Paul, he said, there are lords many and gods many, but we know to us there's but one God. So there are lords many and there are gods many. We know that. They're out there because Satan, a god. Scripture says he's the god of this world. He's the god of this age. So he's considered a god. There were others called, considered gods. Humans were considered gods. God said, "I'll make Moses a god to Pharaoh." So I'll make him a god to Pharaoh. So we see that. Jesus was called God. Was he Almighty God? No, no, no. No. But I want to just throw that out, give you some thinking stuff. So we're going to start on the glory. So I want you to be clear. God, Almighty God, is not three. He's one God. You remember in Matthew, and you'll have this next week, but I want to throw it out to you so you'll have it. Describe a scribe. How many know what a scribe is? A scribe is a scholar. We would consider them a scholar today. They are well-versed in the scripture. Well-versed in the scripture. A scribe came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I want to ask you a question. What is the greatest commandment of all?" What was Jesus' reply? He didn't say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God." He didn't go to the 10. That's the 10 commandments. Did he go to the 10? No, no, no. Because remember, he said, what's the greatest commandment? So there's a lot of commandments, especially the 10, right? Thou shalt honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff. He could have went. Did he go to that? No. Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." One Lord. That's what Jesus said. And he said, then the second, what comes underneath that, the second of that is, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Wow. So we it's a very important. So, and to describe correcting? No. He said, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? I mean, he's talking to Jesus. What is he going to do? And so I want you to look at it. So I'm asking you this. Be patient. Be patient with me as I go through this. Be patient. Let the word develop. I'm asking you to do that. Don't just be patient with it. I took a lot of time to show you the plan of God today. And when did that plan start? Before the foundation of the world. So be patient with me. We got a lot of stuff to cover. But I do want you to know God is not three. He's one. Jesus, get this clear, Jesus is the unique Son of God. Jesus is a human being. I want you to understand that. Jesus is a human being. He was born by a virgin birth. And the only reason Jesus was able to be born is because God performed a miracle. God performed a miracle in Mary's womb. God, there was two conceptions. I'm going to do a message on that. There have been two conceptions. He says Elizabeth's going to conceive, and then Mary's going to conceive. He used the same words on those two things. Elizabeth conceived because she was barren. She conceived how? How did she conceive? God performed a miracle in her womb, for when her husband went with her, the conception could take place. Without her husband, she wouldn't have conceived. Mary conceived in the womb without a man's assistance. That's a miracle. Had it ever happened before? No. Has it ever happened again after? No. God performed a miracle. The DNA that needed to bring forth the man, Jesus, had to be performed, a miracle. It was a miraculous thing that took place. So I want you to get that. I want you to see it. Very important, okay? So would you take some time to think about this stuff this week? I think it's very important. So my pie is not going to make it through this whole series. And this is a good pie. This pie was bought yesterday, okay? So just so you know, my pie ain't going to make it. So everybody got the pie example down? There's no reason for me to waste this pie. It's apple pie. So if you want a piece of pie, at the back of the thing, somebody help me get some napkins or whatever and just give everybody a piece of this pie. If you want a piece, you can have a piece of this apple pie.